From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of March 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. As we close out the program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear from Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading and get his take on this morning's USDA reports. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat down 24 cents today. 498 and three quarters the settlement price. The May at 508 and a quarter down 24 and a half. In July, 24 and a half lower at 520 and a quarter. Nearby March hard red winter wheat at 557 and a half down 22 and three quarters. Back in Chicago, nearby corn, 356, 10 and three quarters lower for the March contract. May futures at 364 and a half down 11. July contract settled down 11 cents as well at 374 and a half, and September futures at 383 and three quarters in the corn, 10 and three quarters lower. December contract $3.96, a settlement price down 10 and three quarters. March corn 2010 at 407 and a half, down 10 and one quarter. Soybean futures March contract 875, a settlement price down 14 cents. May at 862, down 15, and July 16 lower at 860 and three quarters. August contract 849 and a half, down 16, and September beans 827 and a half, down 17 cents. November 18 and a half lower at $8.17. March bean meal at 281.30, up 50. May futures at 269.50. up $1.80. March oil at 29.64, 108 lower. May futures at 29.91, down 107. April live cattle 82.55, 32 and a half lower. June at 80.95, down 30 cents. March feeders at $90 even, 55 lower. And the April lean hogs at 60, 32 and a half, 20 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil at $42.33. on a barrel, down $3.38, and a nearby April. May at $43.99, down $2.99. April ethanol at $1.52 and 6 cents, 2 and 3 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.81 and 4 cents, down 2 and 6 cents. The RBOB at $1.26 and 3 cents, 3 and 3 cents lower. And the heating oil, it's diesel fuel, 5 and 7 cents lower, still trading, down $1.14 and rather at $1.14 and a tenth, once again down 5 and 6 cents for the heating oil. Propane futures at 61 and 8 tenths of a cent, 1 tenth of a cent lower, and gold futures at $910.40 an ounce, now up $14.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 69.27. It's just about even for the day, up right at a point, and the U.S. dollar at 87.86. at 0.76 lower on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region says. For the afternoon in the north, mostly sunny skies, says our own Mike Sola. Elsewhere, intervals of clouds, some sunshine early, then becoming mostly sunny, windy and colder. Highs will range from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 46 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Tonight in northern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy. A few lake effect snow showers, elsewhere mostly clear. Lows will range from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in the south, partly to mostly cloudy. A slight chance of a few snow flurries, elsewhere mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 26 in the north to near 40 in the south. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What a great day it was in Covington, Indiana at the Beef House yesterday.
Yeah, and a special tip of the hat to the Wrights at the Beef House. They did a beautiful job of serving all of our guests.
All of them. There were 399 guests in the room yesterday. Did you learn anything of great import that you think you'll be able to employ in your business over the next year or so?
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the panels, and of course, I have to give a special tip of the hat. I think Murray Weiss intrigued me more than anyone else because of my fondness of land and and speculative ventures. But I also thought that the crowd, they're probably extremely successful people there. How pessimistic the crowd was when we polled them about the stock market. I know several stock investors and land investors came up and had conversations with me. They're very pessimistic about the U.S. economy, and that bothers me. I don't think it's quite as bad as what they say, because I think there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, and a lot of times a watch pot never boils in my game.
All right. So speaking of watching the pot, USDA came out with some numbers this morning. Initially, they should have been pretty good for at least the soybean market at a minimum. But as the day wore on, things fell through. It was at all in part and parcel of the numbers for wheat on the global marketplace. It looked a lot bigger than they have been predicted to be.
Yeah, I think that's a factor. I think also the crude oil being down, and I think there was a tremendous amount of panic short covering in the marketplace, and I think that kind of eased back. But in order play the game, traders were reluctant to get too friendly in here because those numbers that the government came out with are still pretty large, with the exception of soybeans, and but they are basically emphasizing ethanol demand, and of course we talked about that yesterday as being the game that's going to bring us out of the cheap prices.
So let's go through the numbers very quickly. U.S. ending stocks or carryover now projected at 1.74 billion bushels for corn. Trade had been expecting a 1.8 number. And the February estimate was a 1.79 billion bushel carryover. Beans, probably the one that surprised most of the trade. Trade expecting 195. The February estimate from USDA had been 210 million left in the bin when we get to this fall. Bean carryout now at 185 million bushels. Wheat futures are wheat carryout at 712 million. That one is bigger than the trade expected at 656. USDA in February had said 655. And then you take a look at the global numbers. Corn at 144.62 million metric tons, up from the 136.6 in February. Beans at 49.95. That's just about the same as the 49.87 in February. And wheat futures, 155, wheat crop that is, 155.85 million metric tons global production or carryover. And that one was up from the 149.96 in February. So those are the numbers that came out from USDA this morning. Tell me how the trade ensued through the day and why it was that you think the marketplace began to tumble through the middle portion and the end of the day. Was the wheat just that much of a factor or other things there?
You know, I think the commodity world is by some of the players, is more bearish than probably the stock market in some degree, just because of it's so hard to sell, outside of soybeans to China, it's hard to sell wheat and corn into the world marketplace. But I don't think that the market put in a tremendous performance yesterday. We know that the grains are oversold, and I think more than anything else, I really wouldn't pin the tail on the donkey, you know, as far as saying this was the leading factor of a situation, other than the fact that during the middle part of the day, you know, this Jimmy Diamond came on. He's with J.P. Morgan, and he's probably one of the most eloquent young financial wizards on Wall Street and the banking community. And he did lay out some optimism and some suggestions of government policy, and both positive and negative. And you know, so you know, the marketplace waited and listened to him very carefully. I think that the big factor here is that we do have a lot of corn and wheat to go through, and the traders are basically. And with these higher prices, I'm not too sure there wasn't some corn moving into the marketplace.
Well, a secondary question on the flip side of wheat hauling the market down, which may or may not have been the case. You're suggesting probably outside factors other than wheat. The corn and the bean numbers, actually, for the carryover in the United States, look pretty good. Corn usage, corn disappearance is better than many had expected. Certainly, bean disappearance is better than most had expected at 185 million. Does that give you optimism for the coming marketing year?
Yeah, and you know, some of the pundits in here in the soybeans feel that number could even be tighter. We understand that the government did lower the Argentine crop fractionally, and we still have a lot of the harvest yet. We're harvesting beans out of South America, and you know, I think it's one firm says 30, another one says 40% harvested in Brazil alone. So some of those Brazilian beans are in the marketplace and is a market factor. The corn, maybe the 86 million acres is a little high, and people feel that that'll be snugged up some, and also the ethanol is going to be even larger than what the government's forecasting. So these numbers, per se, even though the government's talking about a 1740 corn carryover, they could be brought down a little bit, and but that's still a very large number to play with as we go into the early springtime. Mm-hmm. We're not going to really see a market rally in corn based on planning with that kind of a number.
Is there anything else you want to add before I let you go for the day?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hi, this is AM580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. More than 400 people attended the 2009 All-Day Agricultural Outlook Meeting at the Beef House. We'll have audio from the meeting on our website at willag.org. Our thanks to these agribusinesses that helped make this year's meeting a success. The Andersons, DTN, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investor Services, and L&M Commodities.
Once again, be sure to visit our website at willag.org, and you can pick up all of the agricultural programming from yesterday's All-Day Ag Outlook meeting.
Indiana is on the line now. He's here to take up the USDA reports released this morning. Jim, give us your quick view of what the numbers look like at 7:30 Central Time.
I think the big thing in this report, in kind of a general summary, would be that the global numbers by themselves weren't so positive. They were a little bit negative, particularly in the wheat, where we continue to see these world production numbers in wheat coming in a little bit higher than the trade expectations. It looks like we're going to have record world wheat production for 2008-2009. So for wheat, the numbers strictly just by themselves, in my opinion, are negative. But keep in mind, we've got this situation in western Texas, Oklahoma, southeast Colorado, and southwest Kansas, which needs to be monitored because that area is remaining relatively dry, not critical yet. It's certainly a 1 or 2 inch rain through there would really, really help them and would push prices lower. But the market actually absorbed that negative global wheat number pretty well. Now, soybeans, I thought was the most interesting number of all. There was some chatter before the report that the ending stocks could be down in the 180 million area to 185, but I think the trade estimate was somewhere closer to 200 million. But it did come in at 185 million bushels, which is at the lower end of the trade estimate. And we continue to see these sales numbers for soybeans going to China at pretty much record pace. And today we're seeing soybeans, at least here right now, up a little bit on the front month of about 5 to 6 cents. But the bull spreads are working there, which indicates that the commercials and the demand is reasonably good on the front month. We didn't see too much change in the size of the Brazilian soybean crop. In fact, they pretty much left it the same at 57 million metric tons. But they did drop the Argentine soybean crop from 43.8 million metric tons down to 43 million metric tons. And that's kind of pretty much in line with trade expectations. Now, of course, here in the corn market, which has actually had a reasonably good week leading up to this report, the corn number ending stocks came in at 1.74 billion bushels. The trade estimate was 1.811. So on the surface, the corn number by itself was good. It pretty much highlighted in the report the increasing use of corn for ethanol, about 100 million bushel increase above the trade estimate, but that they did drop down the export number by about 50 million bushels. But again, we came in at a lower ending stocks at 1.74 billion bushels. Looking at it from a global corn stocks number, that by itself was negative, with the world ending stocks for corn up nearly 8 million metric tons, coming in at 144.62 million metric tons. That's up from the February number of 136.7 million metric tons. So in summary, it looks like the global numbers strictly by themselves a little bit on the negative side, but the domestic numbers, particularly for soybeans and corn, a little bit encouraging to the producer.
And this is primarily because it appears that usage is beginning to pick up in all those areas again?
Yes, I think we're starting to see a little bit of recovery here. We're seeing the Baltic freight rate or the rate charge for ocean-going vessels really starting to pick up now. We're seeing some interest by the Chinese who've actually implemented their beginning stages of their infrastructure program starting to pick up. With some interest in iron ore, copper, metals, and again, the Baltic freight rate or the ocean freight rate for transporting of commodities starting to pick up. So, yes, I think from a global standpoint, we're starting to see not a great deal of recovery, but just a slight hint that things are starting to maybe solidify here a little bit and maybe starting to pick up.
You tend, Jim, to take a much broader look at the marketplace than some of our other analysts. What's your feeling about the broader economic global climate in the next 6 to 9 months?
Well, based upon nearly 40 years of experience in trading, to me, this has been the year what I would classify as the 2008 will go down as the year of market disruption or the year of disruption as compared to the year of the Great Depression. And what I mean by that, in 2007, 2008, the world, the global macroeconomic picture just got way, way overblown. Let's be honest. We were consuming products, commodities, materials, water at a rate that was just simply unsustainable. And again, I'm not surprised at this correction. I call it a major correction in the markets, because the market had only one way to get this thing slowed down, and that was it. Coming out ahead here, the market probably, in my opinion, will do what a lot of these markets I've seen in the past decades do when they have a severe wound. They'll go down and they'll make a technical bottom. They'll come back, maybe get a little bit of a bump up, come back down and retest that bottom, and then probably go sideways in a healing mechanism. I call that a tubular market or a healer's market, and I think that's probably what can happen from a global standpoint, and I think that's what the market really needs. Now, the twister, Todd, in that scenario is Mother Nature, because grains especially are a commodity that can be almost instantly affected by major changes in weather patterns from a global standpoint. So here at Bauer Trading, we always use the words global, 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 and now we're going to have to use global weather, global weather, global weather, because that will make the difference in price discovery this year, in my opinion, in what I think will be a sideways or healing market if we don't have any major weather problems.
Jim, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading. He's based in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain marketplace, and Matt Kunich, who is with the Anderson's Delphi facility and our Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Ken Smith was over at our all-day Ag Outlook meeting yesterday, gave us some great information about the Andersons and the cash grain market, and I think the three folks on the panel were in relative agreement that if farmers needed to move corn, old crop that is, that the basis levels, because the overages were there, were probably worth locking in, but that they might want to wait to make the actual sales until a bit later in the spring. Did today's USDA numbers change any of that, do you think?
No, that did not. I think guys are, you could tell who was listening in yesterday, definitely more interest in that April-May time period. Not too many guys locking it in. Just not much selling out there. There's more cash selling. When the market was up, as soon as the market turned down, it became pretty quiet after that.
And what was the discussion around the Anderson's office there at Delphi this morning after the numbers came out immediately?
You know, I didn't think any big surprises. U.S. numbers looking a little better. However, the world numbers offset that. We weren't surprised at all. We actually were kind of surprised that the market was up as long as it was. I don't like seeing the market close down 10, down 15, but with the crude oil falling off there, it was kind of in line with what we were thinking.
On the DDG side, I know you have folks that specialize in this, but have you talked to them much, and has usage begun to slack off from DDD? Are you being able to continue to sell as much as you have into the marketplace, or has livestock numbers gone down enough that it's starting to pile up a bit?
Actually, we're not piling up right now. Right now, we are sold out of basically the dry for the current time period. I know that is changing for future contracts, but for right now, we're staying on top of it.
And do you have your bids in front of you for the day?
I sure do.
And they are?
Here at Climbers, corn's going to be at 3 over, so at 367. Delphi beans going to be at 862. July wheat at 390. And Delphi corn at 364.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Matt Kunich is with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Wednesday right here on the Closing Market Report. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. If you'd like to hear what Drew had to say or will have to say, or any of the other ag programming, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Back in just a couple.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The University of Illinois' president is standing behind its fledgling online campus. Joe White says Global Campus will at least break even by 2011 and serve up to 1,500 students. The online degree program was established 2 years ago, and that met with skepticism from faculty members. The university is making Global Campus a fourth standalone campus, and today trustees were set to approve an academic faculty council and set the guidelines for the Global Campus director, two steps toward gaining accreditation. The U of I's Mumford House will stay where it is now. This morning, trustees asked Urbana Chancellor Richard Herman to draw up a plan to restore the 140-year-old frame house on the South Quad. Previous plans were to move the structure to a Windsor Road site to serve as a visitor center. Mumford House was the home of some of the U of I's earliest deans of agriculture. and preservationists say it represents the heart of the university's origins. They also say moving the house could have damaged its foundation and would have led to its removal from the National Register of Historic Places. The U of I has yet to find money to restore it. Senate passage of a $400 billion spending bill means Rantoul's Chanute Air Museum is a step closer to a new and larger facility. Its director says the board wants to move out of its current home inside the former Chanute Air Force Base's Grissom Hall, which he says is falling apart and doesn't have enough room. The bill appropriates more than $100,000 for a new building. An apparent $500,000 math error by the Energy Department could mean some new life for the proposed future-gen coal-fired power plant. A spokesman for Senator Dick Durbin says congressional auditors have found the department made the goof last year when it withdrew support for the project. A former state employee claims in a lawsuit she was fired for talking to the FBI about an illegal hiring scheme under former Governor Rod Blagojevich. Deborah Tumulty was the Revenue Department's personnel director from 2004 to 2006. She claims Blagojevich used state hiring to collect campaign cash and political favors. She said she was fired after telling the revenue director she was cooperating with the FBI. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather right here. We had quite a little bit of rainfall, and now it's cold.
Yeah, boy, we can't seem to shake winter. I guess we're maybe pushing it just a little bit, but you can never get rid of it too soon. The forecast, though, it is advertising drier conditions now for a while. That means all this excessive moisture we've picked up over the past week will gradually work its way downstream and out of the area, and then the flooding that's occurring in some areas will abate as time moves on. It will stay kind of coolish around for a while, though. The next 24 to 36 hours will probably be coolest, and then we'll start to see a short-term bout of warming taking place over the weekend. Most likely the temperatures will just about come back something closer to normal, and then we bring on a couple of cool fronts coming out of Canada again as we finish out the week next week and go on into the following weekend. So it doesn't look like we'll be in a warm weather mode for very long, and the next opportunity for precipitation of significance will probably come with that first frontal system of significance, which will probably show up towards the latter part of next week going the following weekend. So we ought to have at least a short-term period of improvement across the region where the conditions aren't all that bad, and certainly a warming trend will be welcome.
Check on the winter wheat crop of the Great Plains State for me?
Yeah, we definitely have some problems out there potentially as we move deeper out in the forecast. We've got a little disturbance right now that will produce some precipitation in the region over the next 48 hours, taking us through Friday afternoon. Precipitation will not be real substantial, but areas from Texas northward into southeastern and east-central Colorado and southwest Kansas will pick up on a few hundredths of an inch to 35 hundredths of an inch, with some local totals getting up around 5/10 of an inch. That's not a lot of moisture, certainly after 4 weeks of dry weather, and the prospects for more warmer-than-usual conditions increasing across that region as we move forward through next week. There is not a good amount of rainfall coming up after this event, so we will be mostly dry through probably the 25th of March.
And then turn your attention to South America, where USDA confirmed, of course, what we already knew and what you'd been telling us, that the Argentine corn crop was pretty rough, but the bean crop hadn't been hurt too much, and the Brazilian beans were right on target.
Yes, and I think we're going to see status quo. I don't think the weather is going to be adverse enough right now over the next 2 or 3 weeks to make any big differences. The only thing we have to worry about is maybe a wet harvest evolving in any one of those two countries down there. But at the moment, it doesn't look all that terribly bad. Brazil will be wetter as we go through this first week of the outlook, and there will be some delays in fieldwork. But they are moving along so well at this point, a little bit of delay is not going to have a big impact at all. In Argentina, we're actually still in a dry weather mode for a little while longer. My concern is when this La Nina event continues to weaken over the next few weeks, we may go into a wet weather mode for Argentina, and that could have a negative impact on their harvest.
Drew, thanks much for joining us today.
You, and have yourself a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You have a great day, too. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.